This case involves a conspiracy.
That's what the Hong Kong government says happened as they shut a news organization down. It's Friday, June 18th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, mixed feelings on Australia's relationship with China, a growing threat of domestic terrorism in the United States, opposition against proposed big spending increases by the Pakistan government, a planned movie about a gunman slaughter of Muslim worshippers in Christchurch feels very soon and very raw for New Zealand's leader. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Hong Kong police raided the offices of a pro-democracy newspaper, Apple Daily, on Thursday and arrested five executives, including its chief editor. The raid and arrest were conducted under the nearly one-year-old national security law imposed on the semi-autonomous city by Beijing last year. Police said five executives of a company were arrested on suspicion of collusion with a foreign country or with external elements to endanger national security. Apple Daily said its chief editor, Ryan Law, and four other executives with the newspaper and its parent company, Next Digital, were arrested. More than 200 police officers took part in Thursday's raid on Apple Daily's offices. Streaming video posted on the newspaper's Facebook page showed officers cordoning off the building and walking through the newsroom. Police said the warrant authorizing the raid was aimed at gathering evidence of violating the national security law. Hong Kong Security Minister John Lee told reporters afterward that the raid was aimed at those using journalism as a tool to endanger national security.
This case involves a conspiracy. We are talking a conspiracy in which there are a series of acts. The police have already informed the media that one of the acts involved publication at Apple Daily and also online news regarding articles that invite foreign countries, external elements, to impose sanctions or take hostile activities against Hong Kong and the PRC. This is the conspiracy. We are not talking about media work or journalist work. We are talking about a conspiracy in which the suspects try to make use of journalistic work to collude with a foreign country or external elements to impose sanction or take hostile activities against Hong Kong and PRC.
Stephen Butler, the Asia Program Coordinator for the Committee to Protect Journalists, said the raid and corresponding arrest of the five executives destroy any remaining fiction that Hong Kong supports freedom of the press. Butler added that China's actions to eliminate the paper will come at a steep price to be paid by the people of Hong Kong, who had enjoyed decades of free access to information. This is the second time Apple Daily's headquarters have been raided by police since the new law took effect. A raid last August came just hours after Jimmy Lai, Next Digital's founder and owner, was arrested at his house on suspicion of foreign collusion. Trading in Next Digital shares on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange was suspended Thursday after the raid. The 73-year-old Lai is currently serving a 14-month prison sentence for taking part in separate unauthorized assemblies in 2019. His assets at Next Digital were frozen by the government last month. The national security law was imposed by Beijing in response to the violent anti-government protest in 2019. Anyone believed to be carrying out terrorism, separatism, subversion of state power, or collusion with foreign forces could be tried and face life in prison if convicted under that law. For more information on our top story, head on over to voanews.com or any of our many digital platforms. These are some of the stories at voanews.com. Japan to ease COVID-19 restrictions as Tokyo Olympics near. Flash flood kills 10 people in Bhutan, 7 missing in Nepal. Myanmar ethnic group pledges to investigate alleged killing of 25 laborers. The U.S. Embassy in Afghanistan orders a near-complete lockdown Thursday because of a massive spike in coronavirus cases among employees. Thailand plans to fully reopen to vaccinated foreign visitors by the middle of October. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. Australians express deep mistrust of China's government but want their own government to build better relations with Beijing, according to a new survey. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
The study by the University of Technology Sydney, or UTS, was compiled this year amid rising trade and security tensions between Australia and its biggest trading partner, China. The authors have said it's the most comprehensive survey of public opinion on the Australia-China relationship to date. They note that the political relationship has been enduring significant difficulties since 2017. The results highlighted the complex nature of bilateral ties. 61% of Australians want a stronger relationship with China, yet an overwhelming majority, more than three-quarters, expressed mistrust of the Chinese government. A majority of respondents, more than 60%, said their opinion on China has become more negative following the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. Elena Collinson is a senior researcher at the UTS.
While Australians are clearly significantly concerned about both the downward spiral in relations and China's assertiveness, they're not yet willing to give up on the relationship entirely. And to that point, Australians have refrained from putting the onus on one side to better relations, with an emphatic majority, 80% of the public, saying they believe that the responsibility for improving the current frostiness lies with both the Australian and Chinese governments.
Relations between Australia and China have been affected by a range of political, trade and foreign policy disputes. Beijing's military expansion in the South China Sea and the treatment of pro-democracy activists in Hong Kong are two sources of disagreement. Allegations of cyber espionage and interference in Australia's domestic affairs have also caused friction, as did Australia's decision to ban the Chinese tech giant Huawei from its 5G network. Last year, Australia called for a global inquiry into the origins of the new coronavirus, which was first detected in China in late 2019. This caused immense damage to the relationship, since Beijing interpreted Australia's demand as criticism of its handling of the pandemic. 72% of respondents to the UTS poll agreed with the statement that the Australian government was right to publicly call for an international investigation into the origins of COVID-19. Beijing responded to mounting diplomatic friction with a range of tariffs on some Australian farm exports and coal. Officials have accused Australia in the past of peddling anti-China hysteria. The UTS survey sampled the views of 2,000 Australians in March and April. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
China has launched a three-man crew to its new space station in its first manned mission in 5 years. AP correspondent Karen Chamas reports.
Blasting off into bright blue skies with near-perfect visibility, the rocket headed into space from the Zhuquan Launch Center in northwestern China, on the edge of the Gobi Desert. The three astronauts traveling in the Shenzhou 12 spaceship docked with China's new Tianhe space station about 6 hours after takeoff. The two veteran astronauts and a newcomer making his first space flight will stay in the main living compartment of the core module for 3 months. The mission marks a milestone in the country's ambitious space program. I'm Karen Chamas.
Happening now in Asia, after a month of catching fire, a ship bearing chemicals sinks off the coast of Sri Lanka. There is a fear of major pollution. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Thank you for being with us on VOA Asia. The United States faces a growing threat from domestic violent extremists, according to a strategy released this week by the Biden administration. The warning comes as U.S. lawmakers continue to investigate the January 6th storming of the U.S. Capitol by supporters of former President Donald Trump seeking to derail the Electoral College vote count, confirming Biden's presidential victory. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has the story.
5 months after the U.S. Capitol attack, the Biden administration laid out a strategy for countering the threat posed by domestic extremism. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
In the FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocate for the superiority of the white race.
Garland says that no one in the United States will be prosecuted for their nonviolent political beliefs.
There is no place for violence as a means of resolving political differences in our democracy. The long-term issues that contributed to domestic terrorism in America must be addressed to ensure that this threat diminishes over generations to come. To defuse the underlying causes of domestic terrorist attacks.
The January 6th assault has resulted in more than 500 arrests. Democrats say the rioters were motivated by former President Trump's false claims of election fraud. Democratic Representative Carolyn Maloney.
After his efforts to pressure the Department of Justice failed, President Trump grew even more desperate. And so on the morning of January 6th, he sent an angry, violent mob to the Capitol. The goal was to use violence to stop Congress from certifying that Joe Biden won the election.
The head of the FBI acknowledged to lawmakers this week that his agency had failed to anticipate the assault. FBI Director Christopher Wray.
Our goal is to bat 1,000, and anytime there's an attack, much less an attack as horrific and spectacular as what happened on January 6th, we consider that to be unacceptable.
A Senate report released earlier this month found multiple intelligence and security failures in the lead-up to the attack. Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar.
3 intelligence-related units within the Capitol Place knew about social media posts calling for violence at the Capitol, but that the full scope of these warnings never made it to the Capitol Police leadership, rank-and-file officers, or law enforcement partners. There were also conflicting reports on the threats.
While several Senate panels continue work on reforming the U.S. Capitol Police in the wake of the attack, Senate Republicans blocked Democrats' attempt last month to form a wide-ranging commission to investigate the events of January 6. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
Making headlines in Asia, Myanmar's junta and villagers traded accusations after a settlement was razed almost entirely to the ground. Villagers of Khin Ma told AFP junta forces were to blame, while the military said terrorists and windy weather were responsible. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, the United Nations is warning accelerating climate change is causing a dramatic intensification of global drought disasters, which are threatening agricultural production, the world's safe water supply, and other essential aspects of human development. The UN Office for Disaster Risk Reduction has launched a special report on drought 2021. Lisa Schlein has the story for VOA from Geneva.
UN researchers say drought has affected more people around the world in the past 4 decades than any other natural disaster. The UN report warns the impact of the climate-driven drought emergency on the lives and livelihoods of people across the planet will worsen in the coming years. The UN Secretary General's Special Representative for Disaster Risk Reduction, Mamie Mizutori, says drought has directly affected 1.5 billion people so far this century. She says most of the world will be living with water stress in the next few years as drought disasters grow. She says drought is a major factor in land degradation and is responsible for declining yields of major crops. She adds, shifting rainfall patterns and variability pose a risk to the 70% of global agriculture that is rainfall dependent.
A warming planet threatens to multiply the number of people without access to safe water and sanitation, thereby seriously increasing the spread of diseases, the risk of displacement, and the potential even for conflict over scarce water resources.
While droughts always have been part of the human experience, the damage and costs resulting from them are seriously underestimated. The report estimates the global economic costs arising from drought from 1998 to 2017 of at least $124 billion. The World Health Organization considers drought to be the most serious hazard to livestock and crops in nearly every part of the world. It says water scarcity impacts 40% of the world's population. WHO projects as many as 700 million people are at risk of being displaced by 2030 because of drought. Leading co-author of the report, Roger Fulwati, agrees the data contained within the report is grim, but does not see an apocalyptic picture ahead.
And I don't think that there is, in fact, this issue surrounding the collapse of civilizations called, we're not seeing truly an increase in the frequency of drought, but we are seeing that where they occur in the different regions in which they do exist, an increase in the intensification when they occur, and the rapid onset of drought.
Over the millennia, Pulwarti notes people have found ways to adapt to risks from drought and other natural disasters. He says lessons learned from over 20 cases around the world, including the Horn of Africa and the Euphrates and Tigris River system in Western Asia, have been incorporated in the report. However, he says tried and true drought management measures taken in the past must be adapted to meet the challenges of today's changing nature of drought risk. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
This is VOA Asia.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. A published report says fighting between Afghan forces and Taliban in the northern region of the country led to at least 23 casualties for the troops on Wednesday. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia, Twitter, and Facebook. This is VOA Asia.
This is Business Scene. I'm Josh Nist. Pakistan has recently announced a budget of 8.4 trillion rupees, or 54 billion U.S. dollars, for the next fiscal year. The ambitious growth target of 4.5% and tripling spending on public sector development with an election just 2 years away. The budget includes putting 2.135 trillion rupees towards public development, including job-creating infrastructure projects, which is a huge increase from the current year's 1.532 billion rupee plan. To fund the budget, the government has increased its tax revenue budget. Military spending has also taken up a huge chunk of Pakistan's riches since the country came into being with the partition of India in 1947. In addition, 140 billion rupees had been set aside to vaccinate the country's population against COVID-19. Rising inflation has left many struggling with higher food prices and energy bills. However, the budget plan has faced a mixed reaction. When Financial Minister Shaukat Tharoor presented the plan to the National Assembly, which drew jeers from opposition lawmakers. Tharoor said the budget earmarked 3 trillion rupees to retire or service current debt. Tourists visiting Gwangju have been steeling their nerves for adrenaline-filled challenges in a new assault course at the top of China's tallest TV tower. At Landmark Alpha Adventure Park, tourists put on helmets and harnesses to scramble and climb between a twisting metal structure. A coach is also present to shout out instructions and demonstrate techniques for each challenge. Pen Chin, a tourist, says the course was a one-of-a-kind experience. I've never had a more exciting experience anywhere. The attractions that I've been to were mostly amusement parks. Costing 80 million renminbi, or 12.5 million US dollars, and over a year to build, the park opened in January of this year on the 600-meter-high Canton Tower. Adventurers in Gwangju spent up to 688 renminbi, or 108 US dollars per person, on a single course in the tower. The adventure park typically welcomes 200 to 300 tourists during public holidays, but not all have the courage to finish the full challenge, as some climbers back out at the advanced obstacles. However, China's megastructures have come under scrutiny after a towering skyscraper in the nearby city of Shenzhen swayed without explanation and was evacuated earlier this month. For Business Scene, I'm Josh Nist.
Now on VOA Asia, New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said a planned movie recounting a response to a gunman slaughter of Muslim worshippers in Christchurch in 2019 feels very soon and very raw for New Zealand. Tentative plans for the movie drew criticism there for not focusing on the victims of the attack. The Prime Minister met with reporters.
I agree that there are stories that, you know, at some point should be told from March 15, but they're the stories of our Muslim community. And so they need to be at the centre of that. Now, I don't consider mine to be one of the stories that needs to be told.
The movie would be set in the days after the 2019 attacks in which 51 people were killed at 2 Christchurch mosques. Following Ardern's response to the attacks and how people rallied behind her message of compassion and unity and her successful call to ban the deadliest types of semi-automatic weapons. Facial recognition technology is playing an increasingly important role in helping law enforcement with criminal investigations, according to police. But civil rights activists are raising the alarm about its power and potential abuse of people's privacy. More from VOA's Julie Tabo.
2 years ago, federal agents arrested a man in Nevada suspected of posting images depicting the sexual abuse of a 7-year-old girl. They were able to identify the man by using a single image and matching it with a photo found by Clearview AI, a facial recognition service that contains 3 billion images scraped from the Internet. Juan Ton Tat is CEO and co-founder of the company. He spoke with VOA via Skype.
He was in the background of someone else's photo at the gym in the mirror. They were able to identify where the gym was, identify the person.
The company says more than 3,000 U.S. law enforcement agencies employ its software, which uses an advanced algorithm to identify and match faces. But social media firms and civil rights advocates argue that this kind of powerful software potentially infringes on people's privacy. Kate Ruan is senior legislative counsel at the American Civil Liberties Union. She spoke with VOA via Skype.
Even when facial recognition works perfectly, it creates significant concerns with the government being able to surveil us throughout all of our, every single aspect of our lives.
The ACLU and other civil rights groups are also concerned about the implications of this kind of technology in the hands of repressive governments. Julie Tabo, VOA News.
Thank you for being with us today, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Jim Stevenson, and Amy Heibels. I'm Ira Melman. Enjoy the day ahead and stay safe.